have a word of prayer. Again, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, thanksgiving for all that you've done for us, Lord, for saving us, for talking to us, for being that amazing God, for being that God that never changes and never will change. Dear Lord, you're a solid rock, dear Lord, that we can stand on, forever settled. And Lord, we're thankful for that stability that we can have. And Lord, we're thankful for the joy that you give to us through Jesus Christ. And Lord, for the many blessings that we can have, the Lord, that you bestow upon us, dear Heavenly Father, as we mentioned some basic things. Lord, we're thankful, dear Lord, that as saints we can be a basic people. Dear Heavenly Father, a plain people, dear Heavenly Father. We don't have to have the riches or jewels of this life or the luxuries of this life, dear Heavenly Father, to make us happy. Lord, we're so thankful for just the everyday things that we have, the things that we have need of, that you bless us. But dear Lord, you also bless us with so, so much more, dear Heavenly Father. No doubt there's not a one of us in here that never imagined we would have been able to go the places we've gone in our life or experienced some things or enjoyed the things that we've had, dear Heavenly Father. They've been wonderful blessings, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, we give you all that glory and praise for allowing these things to happen, dear Heavenly Father. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. And Lord, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, we ask you to be with us tonight as we look into the Word of God one more time. You see the small little thought that I have, dear Heavenly Father. But dear Lord, it can be a deep thought spiritually. So we ask you to help us, dear Lord, as we dig into the Word this evening, that you anoint each and every heart that's here. Anoint the Word. Anoint me that I'll bring it as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, we ask and we pray. Amen. In John chapter 15, and we're going to read one verse of scripture here, and this is Jesus speaking here, and as I read this, I'm going to read it slowly, and I want you to listen to the words and get what Jesus says here in this particular verse. John 15 and 11, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Sometimes as I sit and other people pray, and I consider the message a little bit, and this song came to me just this evening, and Brother Teasley had written a song, and it's called "The Song of Joy," and it says, "Salvation, free, glad joy to all of Adam's fallen race. We'll tell the story far and near of saving, keeping grace. From wells of everlasting joy, our strength by faith we bring. The joy that thrills my ransomed soul can make the dumb heart sing. How blessed the soul that's purged as pure as gold without alloy. How peaceful is the flowing stream of deep eternal joy. I'll live for Christ through this dark world, and faithful I will be. The joy I know that keeps my soul shall last eternally. There is joy." I like the chorus of the song. "There is joy, glad joy, now flowing from above. There is joy, glad joy, in the fullness of God's love." Amen. And Jesus says here in this verse 11 here, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." I believe Jesus wants us to have joy. I believe as a church, as a saint, as a child of God, as a Christian, I believe God wants us to have joy. And I believe the only way we can really have deep, eternal joy, wonderful joy, is in Jesus Christ. As he says it, "that my joy may remain in you." When we get saved, God gives us his joy. I believe that heaven, one day when we make heaven by the grace of God, and I've mentioned this many times, it's encouraged me, we're going to have a new body, because these bodies could not stand the joys that heaven holds. Joy, he desires us to have joy in every part of our lives. Jesus says he wants his joy to remain in us. What does it mean to have joy? What does it mean to have real, true joy? Paul says one time in Acts that we have to We have to have a conscience void of offense towards God and man. I believe that's a major key thought. What do I want joy? How do I want joy? One thing of having joy, wonderful joy in life, is that you don't have a guilty conscience. That you've asked Christ to forgive you. You believe He forgave you. You repented from sin. You've walked away from the things that you've once done at one time that were sinful. And set your heart to live for the Lord. That brings joy. That brings a free conscience to us. You know, in the world, you probably hear it sometimes and I hear it. There are people that hide things from their spouse. I don't have my phone. I usually don't carry my phone with me, but it's sort of joke sometimes. The spouse picks up the phone. And they're like, give me my phone. We don't want you to see something, whatever they're in there hiding or whatever. Hide things from your boss. Hide things from people. There's a conscience there that affects us, that because when we're guilty or have something that's not right towards, and Paul says in that verse there, that we have a conscience void of offense towards not only God, but towards man. That I haven't wronged someone, that I haven't lied to someone, that I haven't mistreated or stolen something from someone, that there's not a conscience towards me to see somebody, that a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man can bring joy. I believe real joy, as Paul mentioned here, is to have that clear conscience. We talked about joy a little bit a couple weeks ago in a message I brought with low-hanging fruit, and joy was one of them. But I think as far as Christians, we should have joy in our lives. I believe it's just a part of life. And I know somebody might have mentioned today or this evening or whatever, you know, these bodies, they're affected in physical ways. And we get up in the morning and sometimes it hurts and sometimes it takes a while to get started. And that old people used to talk about arthritis and things and have a headache and all those. But I thank God those things don't necessarily affect the deep joy that we have. Sure, they affect me from maybe my mobility through the day. Maybe the outside day is not pleasant as far as dreary or cold or windy or rainy or things that not pleasant to you. But I thank God the joy that those things cannot touch, the joy that Christ gives to us that we have in our lives, because our conscience is clear towards the things of God. Only way to have a clear conscience is to have Christ our Savior as our Savior. Amen. That's the only way. To have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I wrote this little footnote this evening. I don't know if I've ever said it in many years, but I used to hear it preached many years ago. Remember when people would get saved, or sometimes we'd have revivals or services and things, and talk about house cleaning. And he's not talking about dusting things or vacuuming or those house cleaning. Do a research, so to speak, of your life. How am I living, and how are things in life at home, and my just my general life, cleaning things up, making sure. I've said this many times, and living for God, I think it's good. I think Sister Jerry brought this thought, or I think testified a few weeks ago in Wednesday night prayer meeting some years ago. That she just reconsecrated herself to God one time many, many years ago, being through sanctification. I want to make sure things are well. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. You say, well, I've been saved for 50 years. But thank God from time to time, Lord, I want to make sure. I want to make sure. And that doesn't mean you have to come to an altar prayer. But I believe from time to time, even at home, we need to take that time. Lord, I want to make sure things are well with my soul. And I think it's good for us to ask the Lord, hey, you know that little story about the man flying a kite? And somebody comes by and the kite's so high in the air. And the man says, well, I don't see the kite. How do you know it's still there? Because every once in a while I feel a tug from it. It's still there. And the Lord help us from time to time. Ask God to witness to us. To show it to us. I believe it's good to ask those things of God. But to have Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, there are many things in our lives that can make us happy, whether we're saved or not. I've experienced grandchildren in the last several years. Yes. And I had a friend, a guy I used to work with. He had a little sticker on his toolbox. He said, if I knew grandchildren were this much fun, I'd have had them first. Well, I read it before I had children. He had grandchildren long before, but I know what he means. You know, you enjoy them, and I was saying something, somebody was saying, you enjoy them, and then you can give them right back, and they're gone. They're their problem. But they're just a joy. They're a blessing to us. There are many things in life that can create joy. But as the Bible also says, not only just joy, but pleasure. The Bible says there's pleasure in some things. Sometimes it's sin, but just for a particular period of time. That doesn't bring that joy that Christ can bring. Even though we love our children, we love our grandchildren, we love our family, we love certain things that are very dear to our heart, but still, God doesn't take the place of the joy that God really truly gives to us. And you can't experience it. I think someone we talked about Wednesday, someone talked about love on Wednesday and all. You can't explain love. You really can't. You can't explain how love, the emotion of love really truly feels. You have to experience that. And have that joy and love in Jesus Christ is the only way that you can do that through experience. As I said, there are many things that can bring happiness. There are things that we can do, that we can do ourselves to bring happiness, to bring some joy in our lives. But it doesn't take that place of the joy of God. I enjoy going on vacation. Many of us make plans to go on vacation, and we look forward to it one, you know, most of the time, I guess, once a year. We're happy and we're excited, and we go and we do it. We've got the memories. We come back, but it's over. It's over. So I remember this one couple we were friends with, and they had never really, I don't know why they never were really, maybe just a few years younger than I am. And they went somewhere, really just a small, short weekend excursion type thing. And when they came back, they were all excited. Oh, we want to go somewhere next week or next month. No, I'm thinking, they got excited because they never went on vacation. They never went anywhere. I don't think they had the money or whatever. They finally went somewhere just for a small weekend, and they were so excited. They're like, we want to go here. We want to go there. We want to go everywhere. I don't think they ever went anywhere ever again. I don't think they ever did. They were just that type of people that weren't able to do that. But there are some things, vacation, as I mentioned a little bit earlier with children, but our family can bring us joy. I like it when somebody says, hey, let's go out to eat. Sit down, enjoy yourself a nice meal, and friends or whatever. There are a lot of things that bring a heartache too. And some of those same things that we can create to bring joy can also bring heartache. But I thank God in Jesus Christ that joy is fixed. That joy of Jesus Christ, he indicates and he makes mention here in this verse, that my joy, that Christ's joy, that Christ's joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. That's how our joy is full. That's how we have joy from day to day, week to week, month to month, year after year, through Jesus Christ. If we lose the joy out of our life through Christ, we'll lose our joy. If we stop walking with Jesus Christ and we sever the ties from us to Jesus Christ, that joy gets severed between us and Christ. Our joy will be gone. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're with your grandchildren, your family, you're out to dinner, your vacation, whatever you achieve in life, that joy, there will be nothing in life that will satisfy that joy as Christ does. That's why one of the verses, and I've used it many a times, and I've held it on my own self, the Bible talks about that when you're in sin, the Bible lets us know when you're in sin, you're in darkness. But if at one time you were saved, and you go back into sin, and you walk away from God, the Bible says there is a great darkness. And I thought about that in my life and living for God. For me to understand and have the experience that I've had living for God in my life, to walk away from this. I just think about that for a moment. Yourself. And most of you here have been saved for almost most of your life. But think about that very thought. What would it take for you to say, I'm going back out in the world? What would it take? It would take one thing, it would take is for you to say, this isn't true. This doesn't mean anything anymore. Salvation is nothing. Close the Bible, put it away. It doesn't mean. That's what it, one thing it would take. And God would bring that deception on your, allow that deception to fall upon your heart and mind. And some of us here, I speak of him because I believe we have confidence that he made heaven his home before he passed away. But Brother Jimmy Allison, and he was here many a times, and I've known him since I was saved. He's a little younger than I was, but some years went by, and we got in contact with him, and he had backslidden. He had gone back on the Lord. And when I talked to him, I personally talked to him, and thank the Lord, he had a sickness, and he ended up passing away from that, but he came back and got saved from what we understand. But thank the Lord. But he told me out of his own personal mouth, he was a minister. He was an ordained minister. He wasn't a pastor, but he was a minister. He told me out of his own mouth, he goes, Brother Doug, I feel like a child. I feel like all that I remember, all that I learned, I've forgotten. It had gone away. I felt like a child just starting over. God closes that avenue towards us, that joy, that exception through Jesus Christ. Jesus says here that your joy might be full. In verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments and you abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus Christ was an example. He says that he abided in his Father's love and that his Father's love abided in him. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you, you can have that joy. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think one thing about the peace of God, it does bring joy. Peace does bring joy. The Amplified Version in this particular verse says, and God's peace be yours, that tranquil state of the soul assured of its salvation through Jesus Christ. There's a word in here we're going to look at in a moment. But he says, and God's peace, let it be yours. There's just another version of it. And he said that tranquil state, that word tranquil means, and I wrote the definition here, free from disturbance. Now, we said a little bit ago, there are some things that can create real heartache. But I believe what he means by that is regardless of whatever is going on all around us, we can still have that peace of God and the joy of Jesus Christ in our heart. Free from disturbance. See, even though we can try to do things in life that make us have joy, and it saddens, Brother Davis used to be, that was one of his testimonies he did when he got saved, or before he got saved. You know, I don't know if it was his testimony. I remember he used to preach that thought. He goes, the devil will try to have you go over there looking for something, happiness, and spend some time over there, and that's not it. And you go over here and try to find happiness, and you go back over there, and you're running all over the place trying to find happiness and peace and something, and there is nothing in this world that can fill that spot except Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ does fill that spot and that joy is in our lives, then we can have that calmness, that free from any disturbance or calm through Christ. Doesn't mean there's still not a world of war going on around us. Sure. Let's look at a little thought that I like. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. What was it? 1 Kings chapter 19. Just going to hit some highlights of this chapter here. Most of you are very familiar with the story. You know, in the chapter before this, you know the story with Elijah and all the prophets of Baal. When they made up the altar and, you know, the prophets there, they danced on it and they, they cried out and cut themselves. And then Elijah, of course, brought in the barrels of water after he fixed it up and filled, I think, 4 barrels of water. He dumped on it and filled a trench around it and called upon God. And God brought fire down, and all the prophets were killed. Well, in verse 19, the beginning of verse 19, so you think, what a wonderful victory. What a wonderful blessing God did for Elijah. Verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and wherewith how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so here this wonderful victory that Elijah had, but look at what Jezebel tells Elijah. So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now you're talking about the word disturbance. God, I call you to deal with this altar, and God consumed the altar with fire. And all the prophets of Baal, he killed all the prophets of Baal with a sword. And Elijah sends him a word, I'm going to have you're going to be dead by tomorrow. Elijah takes off and hides. Lord, what am I going to do? Jump on down to verse 4 there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And look what he said. And he requested for himself that he might die. I know we laugh, we chuckle out a little bit, but let me tell you what, that was serious with Elijah. And you know what? I don't know if anybody in this room has ever been told somebody's going to come and kill him. But there have been other things that have disturbed us, that shook our peace, that we had to hold on to God's peace. And you go on down into the chapter. God had to help Elijah and help him and deal with him some things. And jumping down to verse 11, God told him, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and there was a great strong wind that rent the mountain and brake it into pieces and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. All these things, all the noise and the jangle and the rattling and things that God was doing. And the last thing here, he says, Elijah heard a still small voice. Sometimes we get consumed with everything that's going on around us, all the disturbance that breaks our tranquil state, so to speak, and consumes us to those things, and we don't take that time. Lord, I need to hear that still soul. Never has God been extremely strong or powerful in the way he demonstrates his power and voice and talking to speak. He don't have to shout it out, yell it out. Those things make a broad forecast of things. It's still a small voice. When God talked to you that day and he dealt with your soul, he didn't come and beat on the piano and shake you and rattle. Just a small voice to let you and I know that he has, that we have a need, and that he has something he can take care of that need. That joy. That God and God's peace, that tranquil state of the soul assured of salvation through Jesus Christ. Many times there's storms about us. There's problems, there's troubles all around us. But I thank God we can have the joy. Philippians here, he says, the peace, or in Philippians, one of the verses it says, there is a peace that passeth all understanding. I thank God for that. I thank God I've experienced that. I thank God. There have been times in my life when it's just been really, and I don't know, I don't even remember what some of them even were, or if any of them, sometimes just a real trouble and real problem. You go to God in prayer, and he just allows that peace to come on you, that calmness, that assurance. Not necessarily did he take that issue away. He didn't deliver us out of it, but he gave us that peace, that assurance, that joy that we can have. As you mentioned, there's only one way to have joy, to have peace in a soul, And as we read there, Jesus says you have to be born, you have to be saved. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with thy heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with thy mouth man confesseth and maketh unto salvation, and is made unto salvation. If we have confession, if we acknowledge that we're a sinner, as we said earlier back there, when I was making a comment, our conscience, that we have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man, we can have a clear conscience. If we confess with our mouth and believe with a heart that he's saved, verse 10 says, with a heart he can believe that we have righteousness and we can have that joy. We mentioned this morning about right, just living right. It amazes me how people have a desire to not live right. I mean, our world today is so messed up. And they don't want to live right. They are living far away from righteous things of God. And you know what they have? Almost no joy. So this is what I want to do in life. And they go after it. They achieve it. They accomplish it. And there's no joy. There's not even any happiness. There's almost to a point they don't know where else to go. I've ran all the ends of my life out to try to find what satisfies my being. Because they don't have any idea about satisfying a soul, but satisfies my being. And they tried this, they tried that, as we mentioned earlier. But they're at the end of the road. They have no other world to go for joy. And he says there, and we talked about this morning, being holy and living righteous, just do what's right. Just living right with what's right. It's hard for people to imagine to live right. There's a verse in the Bible that says, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. I'd rather be in the darkness because there's so much sin. There's no joy. You and I have no doubt we've talked to people in life. You only have to talk to them for a few moments. And you could tell there's no joy at all in their lives. And they're not a kid. They're well of age and been living many, many years. There's no joy. Why? Because everything they've sought after for that could be any type of happiness or peace, it hasn't brought that joy that only Christ can bring. And that's why men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Living righteous before God, I believe, brings that wonderful joy. You know, if we live our whole lives, our conduct and everything, our business affairs, our money, everything, and we live it proper before God, I thank God we don't have to look behind us. I've been amazed in the last several years on the job. Been a couple of young men, and I say young men, both of these young men are probably in their 20s. They have got themselves in trouble with the government through taxes. I don't know how much. One man told me, I forget what it was, and I'm thinking, and he's been years, 10 years trying to get that straightened out. That may not be a lot of money, but you only pay a little bit here, a little bit there. And I'm thinking, and he's lived his life. He lives with this person. He lives with that person. He lives here because he can't have anything of his own. And, sometimes you look at certain people and how they live like that. And I've wondered, I'm thinking, what is with this person? He seems to be a pretty decent person. Seems to be a hard worker. He's here every day. He's getting a paycheck. He should be able to have an apartment or something on his own. They get cars from the shop that are junkers, basically. And we throw a transmission in them, and they might last a little bit. And they total them or do something. And I'm like, what are you doing? Then you find out some things. They're always looking behind them. There's something tracking them. there's something evil there, something their lifestyle is that is not that of the things of righteousness or any right living, the things that they need to be, and that doesn't bring the joy. That's why Jesus says in John, we read there, that my joy remain in you. If we want Christ's joy to remain in you, us and me and you and us and self, we have to be righteous in every aspect of our life. I halt because of thinking I was going to say something, but I'm not going to tell you the rest of it. But, you know, there are some things in our lives that can almost mean nothing. Money would mean nothing to anybody. And I'm talking about something that was very, 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 very small that I dealt with just recently. And God says, you don't need to do that. Even though it means nothing to nobody, it means nothing to nothing at all. God says you need to leave that part alone. I'm talking about even if I were to purchase this item, it may have, I don't know if you can put a value, it was that insignificant, 10 cents, 50 cents. Who would ever notice? But God said to me, he says, you need to leave that alone. And that blessed my soul. Sometimes we think, oh, it's the big things. Oh, I stole a car. I stole something off a shelf somewhere in a store. Or I manipulated someone out of some money. Those big, but let me tell you what. Sometimes even the small things. We have to have a conscience void of offense towards God first. No person in the world would have ever known what I was just telling you about. Except for me and God and the devil. God says you just need to leave that low. And it brings joy. Being void of offense, being righteous towards the things of God. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. You want some joy in your life? Enjoy the words of God.
Yes.
Read the words of God. David one time said that. He goes, I eat them. I enjoy the words of God. I take them upon my life. I take them upon my stomach, so to speak, in my mind and all. He says, thy words were found and I did eat them. What are we feasting on? Are we feasting on the living bread? Are we feasting on the word of God? Are we enjoying the word of God, or are we enjoying the world's philosophies? As I mentioned a little bit ago, our world's a mess. The gentleman that I spoke of this morning that I prayed, I mentioned his prayer. He asked me if I'd heard about it on the news, and I said, I don't. I asked Lynn, she don't remember, and I told him, I said, there's a lot of that stuff I don't even pay mind to it. I said, for a couple reasons. I said, one, I don't even know what the truth is or what they're telling me, whether it's even the truth. What we hear from the news in any way, shape, or form, whether it's even true, it's manipulated, it's all these things, and I'm like, I don't even want to hear some of it. But what are we feasting on? You know, there are people that feast on drama.
That's true.
I mean, eat it up. Love drama. It used to be said, you go to the store and the tabloids were in there. All that, and I know every one of us have read them, not read the tabloids, but been in the line and seen the tabloid, and you're standing there, so you got nothing else to do but wait, and you read the heading. And it might be something, whatever it could have been. It could have been a public figure, or the other, you know, the queen, or the, whatever, a movie star, whatever. And you see some type of a juicy gossip, so to speak, and it draws your attention. Wonder what that's all about. People not only read them, but they subscribe. I want that mag. They love gospel. They love that drama that stirs up things. He says there in verse 16, the words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I thank God for the words of God. I thank God that they can be a joy to us as saints. Thy words are joy to my life. I've read many of them over and over and over. And as I've said, I read that, even reading that verse in John that we opened up with. And I meditated on that a little bit. John 15, 11, where Jesus says, that my joy remain in you, that your joy may be full. I just meditated on that a few moments and tried to get the fullness of that verse of scripture, that Christ's joy in me, that Christ desires to give me joy, desires me to have joy, that my joy may remain filled through Jesus Christ. Amen. And you just there again, the thought of love, you just can't explain it. But he says here, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. The song in our songbook says, I'm a child of a king. Page 298. I'm going to read one verse of scripture here in this. 298, I'm a child of a king. Verse 3 says, I once was an outcast. Every one of us in here were an outcast. None of us were born a child of God. We were all Gentiles. I was an outcast, stranger on earth, stranger, or a sinner by choice, and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted.
Thank the Lord.
I've been adopted, my name written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. An old story with people said, you were born, but I was chosen. People that have been adopted. You were born into a family, but I was chosen by someone to take care of and love me. God chose every one of us. God chose us. Not only did he choose each and every one of us, choose each one, he desired to give us that love and that joy in our heart. One last verse of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 says, in whom having not seen, yet we love. And whom though now ye see him not, yet believe. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What's your joy? My joy is having not seen something, but I love it. I've never seen Christ. You know, I think we even read tonight or this morning, whatever, and sometimes some of the disciples, when they wrote some of the scriptures, they talk about Christ and whom they've experienced. I think like Paul mentioned many times, I've heard this about the apostles, they told me or whatever, but Peter, James, and John, and even the different ones, all that, they said, we were going to tell you some things because we were with him. We experienced Jesus Christ, our personal self. Well, we've never experienced him in a physical way. Whom having not seen, I haven't seen Christ, but I love him. And whom though now you see him not, I believe him. And I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Good song also. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I thank God we can have joy. Joy that the world knows nothing about. And as that song says, our joy is a joy unspeakable that the world knows doesn't know anything about that we can be blessed by. Our greatest joy, I believe, in our lives is knowing that one day we'll see Christ. Of all things, that's our greatest joy.
Yes. Amen.
One day to be able to see him. Just one glimpse of his dear face will all the toils of life repay, the psalm says. Our greatest joy is knowing. And I encourage myself many a times in this old dark world that this isn't my home. I know Brother Danny mentioned a lot of comments, and we need to pray for the world. We need to pray for the conditions of the world. Let me tell you what, my home's over in heaven.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to leave this old world one day, and I'm going to leave it with all its troubles and its problems and all the things, but I'm going to leave it behind. And by the grace of God, I want to make heaven my home.
Amen.
And God, it's God's world. It's God's, just as I said this morning, this is God's church. This is God's world. Anytime he wants, he can change things. He can rearrange it. He can bring the world to its knees. But my joy is one day, this ain't my home. My God lets me live here and do my best and do good to mankind and do everything, do good to our families and try to encourage someone to get saved. But my home's in heaven. And that's where my joy is. No matter what all we see, all the problems, all the cares, all our battles that we don't have. One day, devil, and sometimes I even tell that to the devil. Devil, one day I'm not going to have to battle you anymore. I don't have to deal with you anymore. I don't have to deal with the problems. I don't have to deal with anything. But my joy is that for me. But also there's a sadness to the world. They have nothing beyond this world. Nothing beyond the grave. They have nothing. No hope, no joy, no nothing. They think they do, but they don't. By the grace of God, is your joy in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Is his joy filling your life? That your joy may be full. May the Lord bless you as we have a song. If you'd like to get a song book, stand, turn to page 170.
trusting my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me. I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountains or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Amen. Lord, help us not to just sing that, but to mean it by our own hearts. By the grace of God. Appreciate the day God's given to us, the messages and His Spirit to be with us. Again, we'll be much in prayer. Next week, next Tuesday, we'll be feeding the homeless gentleman again. So be much in prayer for that. Anything else you need to mention before we dismiss? Brother Burke, can I have you dismiss us?